B means bold. R means you rely on God. A means you act. You're not passive. V means you value others. And E means you embrace who God's made you. And so I asked my boys, okay, looking at those, which one would you say is you're really good at and why? So it was self-assessment. I was doing a self-assessment with an 11, 9-year-old in a cabin. And here's one thing that was really cool. I asked him, okay, so which one of these things do you think you struggle with? And my 11-year-old son, his name's Daniel, and y'all can be praying for Daniel. He said, I struggle with embracing who God's made me to be. Because he's smaller than most kids his age.
Yeah.
He just struggles a little bit. And that's one of the things that he's dealing with. And so we were able to just take time to pray for him and even think through, hey, what are some truths from God's word that we need to remember that God says about you?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Send Network's ongoing Training for Trainers resource. Thanks for joining us on our journey to learn together how to make your transformational training even better. We want to encourage and empower you to keep growing in your confidence and competence as a trainer. Now, here are the hosts for today.
Hi, everybody. I want to welcome you to our Send Network Training Podcast. It's a great opportunity for us to grow in our confidence and our competence as trainers. I'm Rick Duncan, who's one of the hosts here. And also with me is Sam Dula. So, Sam, how are things going for you down there in North Carolina?
Oh, things are great, man. We just finished one of our final trainings with the Boulevard team with 8 church planters coming from all over the country, and super excited. We got one more gathering with those guys in April. And so, yeah, just a lot of great things happening.
That's great. Well, I'm glad you're with us on this podcast. And with us today is a very, very, very special guest. His name is Micah Milliken. He is a graduate of the University of Kentucky. He also went to Southern Seminary and got his master's degree. While he was there, he worked at Highview Church in the college department and also with adult discipleship. And of course, he was under the leadership of Kevin Ezell. And I think you probably know who that is. He is now the senior director of planter development for the Send Network, an elder at Northside Church. He is married to Laurie, and they have 3 kids. So, Micah, we are glad that you're with us on this podcast. Thanks for joining us, man.
Absolutely. Hey, man,
honored to be a part of it. Appreciate what you guys are doing.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons that we wanted to interview Micah is because I think Micah is a person who has taken the principles and the techniques and the philosophy of Send Network training, and he's applied those things in a fantastic way in a wide variety of areas beyond training church planters. When you came to the training, what were 2 or 3 of the things that kind of jumped out at you that made you think, wow, I can use this not only in training planters, but I can use this in a wide variety of ministry opportunities?
There were several things that stuck out to me, 3 of which that are kind of at the forefront. One was just the ability that you have as a trainer to keep the brain engaged by varying your training techniques. And as far as I was concerned, prior to coming into that train the trainer, my default was always to just direct teach. Like, that's just what you do. You prepare a really good sermon, a really good talk. You stand, you talk, and then they download. And so what was helpful for me to see is that if you will keep people engaged, which will lead to transformation if you can just vary the way that you deliver information. And so the different techniques was really helpful for me. So that was one thing. Secondly, I think Charles, I don't know if Charles came up with a statement, but the statement, discussion is good, but discovery is gold. That was really, really helpful for me to see that truth that is discovered has far greater potential to transform a person than something that is just discussed. And so leading people to a place of discovery is really helpful. And then I think lastly, just believing in faith that the Holy Spirit is the best trainer in the room. Mm. The Holy Spirit is always at work, always talking, teaching people things, instructing people, moving people alongside. So So those are some of the things that just kind of stuck out for me, in addition to just the need for vast quantities of beef jerky and RX bars. those are the things that kind of stuck out.
That is awesome. So
if you're listening to this podcast and you're training planters out there, you just got to make sure you got the right beef jerky, man, or else they're not going to learn.
Exactly. That's the secret sauce right there. Oh, man. Well, great. Micah, I know you've been able to use the quadrants and techniques as you are navigating life groups at your church, and you mentioned something that was really key in a second ago. You mentioned being able to keep the brain engaged. What's been one of your go-to tools that you've been able to use, especially as it relates to the impact you guys are having there with your life group at church?
Yeah. So I've been at our church serving as a lay elder for as long as I've been at NAM, close to about 9 years. And been leading community groups the whole time, and we've seen some good multiplication happen. It's been a lot of fun. I love shepherding people, and our church always has been about sermon-based discussions. That's what we've always kind of done in our community groups. So one of the techniques, just training techniques, that is a go-to for me at the start of every community group, once we get into kind of the Bible study portion of time, is just kicking things off with a brainstorm and just asking the question, what was something from the sermon that piqued your interest or caught your attention? Wow. It's a go-to question. It's a very simple question, but again, believing that the Holy Spirit is speaking to the people in my group, I love, and I'm very curious to hear what the Holy Spirit said to them, because every individual has different backgrounds, different experiences. They sit in the sermon and they're going to hear something different than I may hear. And I want to hear what the Holy Spirit's been saying to them. So just doing a simple brainstorm at the beginning always creates some pretty incredible discussion at the beginning. So that's something we encourage all of our community groups to do, is ask a question like that. That helps them to think through and process what the Holy Spirit was saying to them. So that's something specific that we've done in our community group.
So obviously you use brainstorming. What are some other tools, some other techniques, perhaps from another quadrant, that you have used?
So one of the things that we do, I'll just kind of go back to my community group that I lead, just the whole idea of peer coaching and getting into smaller groups and asking good questions. One of the things that we've done in place of the really awkward, prayer time, is we utilize some peer coaching, and we get our groups into smaller groups of twos to threes. And from the discussion, I come up with two to three application oriented question, pair up the participants, and they take turns asking those questions of each other. They pray for each other and they commit to holding each other accountable. And if there's anything that I've learned just from how Send Network Training does with these cohorts, the cohorts are meant to be like that. You're processing this stuff together, you're pressing in, you're asking questions, you're holding accountable, you're praying for each other. It's just kind of taking that mindset and seeing how we can almost create almost like small little cohorts within our community group where the task of shepherding the hearts of every person in the group doesn't all rest upon me. So it's the individual to become a shepherd. So every member, a minister. And that's just one of the ways that we've tried to incorporate a little bit more of kind of that cohort feel, where we're going to walk with each other. And it has revolutionized our group. And it's led to people, I think fostering deep, transparent relationships.
So it sounds like we would call that strategy development. It sounds like you're asking people to come up with what their next step might be.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's like, hey, based on what was talked about, what are two to three things that you can do in the next 30 days? What do you think God's calling you to do? And each person kind of shares, and they're like, okay, man, how can I pray for you? This is how you can pray for me. And they take turns to do it. And then there's the text that comes, a couple weeks after that. So absolutely. Yeah. Strategy development.
So tell me the difference in your life group before and after the use of the techniques and the philosophies and stuff like that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, before I've kind of been introduced to this Send Network Training philosophy, I felt the burden of coming up with a lesson every Sunday. I've got to listen to the sermon. I've got to download the content. And in a span of about 30 minutes, I've got to leave the church, go to our community group. And as we're even kind of eating a meal and fellowship and hanging out, I've got to come up with this this message, this content that I basically kind of unload on them. Like, here's all the things that I learned. Here's what you need to do. And it needs to all be packaged nice and neat. Mm-hmm. And it almost kind of like you felt like you had to prepare like a mini sermon, a more in-depth Bible study. The Sin Network training philosophy has just has helped me to really engage the participants, vary the techniques and the way that I ask questions and the way that we get content communicated to them. It's just made it much more discussion oriented as opposed to me just dumping all the stuff that I learned. And so I think there's a lot less stress for me as I step into the group, because I'm not worried about having to impart all of my wisdom. I'm really after helping people understand what it is the Holy Spirit said to them and then processing good next steps. So yeah, it's just made it much more discussion oriented. People feel like, hey, I need to bring some thoughts because, man, this is all of us doing it together. So it's really helped our group.
So would the people in the group be able to articulate before and after?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. They would say before, they'd never seen a post-it in their life, and sure as heck, they haven't seen it, you know, boxed out on the inside, and they never used a red marker. And so, yeah, they would have seen a vast difference. And so, I mean, people now, they know, man, the post-it's going up, better put a border around it. And, you know, so it's there's a very, very different look and feel to our group now than before. And there's a lot more introspective type questions. There's a lot more emphasis on clear, actionable steps. There's a lot more emphasis on, hey, we do this together. This is not all riding on Micah and his wife. And so, it's created a very different look and feel.
That is great, man. And if you don't mind, Micah, talk a little bit more about that transition. I mean, because sometimes we make some of our, we can learn the most from the mistakes that we make. Yeah. So was there if there was an epic fail, what was it? Then what do you feel like you may have learned from that particular fail?
Yeah, I would say a failure that I had was trying to incorporate too much too soon. Hmm. You know, you come out of the train the trainer, and you talk about drinking the Kool-Aid. Man, I tossed back a cold one of the Kool-Aid, and I was all in. And immediately, and like the first opportunity I had to teach, I wanted to use like every single technique that I possibly could, right. Like a dozen techniques in like a 30-minute thing. It was just weight. I mean, I came in like guns blazing, all kinds of techniques, and it was like overload. This is way too much. And, you know, going straight from like direct teaching into like coming in with a dozen techniques, it was just too much too soon, man. I came in like a silverback gorilla and I was ready to go. So I needed to like pace myself a little bit, bring people along slowly, introduce them to new ways of teaching. And the other thing is I think I was probably a little harsh and maybe even judgmental. Towards others who the only way they knew how to train was direct teach.
Yeah.
And you know, like, man, why don't you do a brainstorm? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And they're like, hey, first of all, I don't even know what you're talking about. And so, yeah, I would just say trying to integrate them all too much and just kind of slowly bringing people along, because, you know, Charles and Rick, Sam, you guys were all very patient with me and helping me to see how we could try to integrate this philosophy into what we do as a network. And it took time, and you were patient with me. And I think in seeing that, I needed to probably be a little bit more patient with others, you know?
Sure.
So if a guy is saying, "Hey, maybe I should try these techniques in a life group setting or in a staff meeting," and let's say you got about an hour to spend with your people, with your team, how many techniques would you recommend that people try to use so that it doesn't become an overload?
I think if you can try to use some techniques that get people talking and discussing, and then use some techniques that would drive people to think clear, actionable steps. So if it's two or three that help you to do that. So if one, if it's a brainstorm, and then the second one is a little more, all right, I'm going to direct teach for 10 minutes. And then three is going to be, you know, a self-assessment and like, all right, so now what are you going to do? I don't know if it's three or four, but I think ultimately you should lead, pique people's interest by get them talking, give them something that they need to know, help them kind of look internally and see how they're doing with it. And then some, what are some clear steps you can take? So I don't know if it's three or four, but that's kind of what I'm trying to shoot for at times.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So you, I know you've used other things that you've learned at the Train the Trainer retreat in other contexts besides life groups. Where else have you done this?
Yeah. So we've done it in a couple, we've done it in several different environments. It really has transformed kind of the way that we do training at our church. One would have been here recently that we did when we were actually training. I know we talked about some examples in my community group. We've actually taken something. We've done some training with all community group leaders at our church. And so we've got about 10 to 12 community group leaders. And so one of the things that we did is we started out by helping them understand as it relates to their Bible study portion time of their community group. We let them know that we believe that their primary objective is to facilitate a discussion that leads to discovery. Hmm. We made that statement really clearly. And then we let them know the way that you can do that is by learning over time to ask really good questions. And so, you know, Rick, Sam, you guys would be so proud of me, man. We busted out the five hats. Like we busted out the five hats.
Yes.
And unfortunately I left all of the mannequin heads in the storage room at NAMM. And so I couldn't bring the mannequin heads. So my wife, no joke, drew out the hats on a big post-it before the training, and they had to guess what hat it was. And then we went through and talked, hey, if you're wearing this kind of hat, this is the kind of question you'll ask. So we walked through each one of the hats with all of them. They had to identify it. We gave them examples of what kind of questions those would be. And then we assigned them, broke them into groups of about five groups. We gave them a specific passage of scripture, and then they had to prepare a lesson that facilitated discussion and led to discovery using the five hats.
Wow.
So they had 10 minutes to do that.
That's
fascinating. And then, you know, we brought one of the specific examples and we did kind of like a, I guess you would say a design analysis, right? So we kind of looked at what they put together and I don't know if it's a design analysis or if it's peer coaching. I'm not exactly sure which technique it was. All I know is we took one of them, put it up on a post-it and we critiqued it. Hey, what'd you like about this? What might be a question that you would add in addition to it? Mm. Congratulated them. So one of our elders, he's also the business administrator for city administrator for Alpharetta. He came up to me a couple days later and he said, hey, that training was the best training we've ever done. And with community group, like that was so helpful for me, like in our community group, I always feel the weight of having to like talk the whole time. Now I'm just learning to ask really good questions. It's transformed the discussion.
Wow.
So that's something that we've done. We've done some other things with our leaders in KidSide at our church, where we've actually had people learning how to share the gospel with their kids, where they actually had to practice and get into groups sharing the gospel as if the other person was a kid. And so we've tried to incorporate a lot of these techniques in our training. And man, that's not to mention all the things we've been doing here recently via Send Network with our regional gatherings and thinking through how information is delivered in our breakouts. We're not trying to do info dump. We're trying to make things transformational. So I'm bought in. I'm trying to weave this training philosophy into everything that we do so that our training and our teaching and our preaching can be much more transformational. So yeah, we're trying to anywhere and everywhere I can.
That's awesome. That actually, you literally almost took the question, gave me the answer before I asked the question. I was literally going to say, so this is, you've learned a lot and you've been able to implement a lot of the tools from the trainer within your church. How is that translated to your responsibilities at NAMM? And you're not this person with one hat that you're wearing. There's a lot that you're doing and you have a lot of responsibility. How have the the tools and the principles from the trainer really been able to influence your role there at NAM?
Yeah, sure. Now, so our development team with Send Network oversees a lot of large scale events, orientation for all of our newly endorsed church planters, our regional gatherings that we've done. We've done three of those. We got our Canada gathering coming up next week. We've got our West, Midwest gathering coming up, Field Leader Summit with all of our leaders in the field. So there's a lot of training events that we do. Mm-hmm. And the typical way that any of these kinds of conference or trainings go is one person gets up, they talk for 45 minutes, and then there's maybe, if you have time, there's Q&A at the end. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And so they end up going from essentially sermon to sermon to sermon to sermon to sermon. It's talking head, talking head, talking head, talking head. And that's just kind of what happens. That's just the way that we do it. So the training philosophy has really permeated everything that we do. So when we work with guys who are leading breakouts for orientation or for the regional gatherings, you know, our training team is involved and they're working with them to help them think through how to deliver the information in a way that's truly transformational, giving them opportunities to collaborate with each other, to think through things, to discuss things, to formulate strategy. So yeah, it really has impacted what we do and has I think differentiated what we do with the Send Network from just the vast majority of other conference things that I've attended before. And I think it's refreshing for guys. Yeah. The way that we teach and the way that we train now.
Yeah. Well, and I just want to affirm your leadership. You've heard me tell you this before, but I just sometimes marvel at the influence that you have been able to have throughout the whole North American Mission Board and Send Network in particular. Your humility, your posture of humility to go, wow, there may be some better ways to do this training than I have been exposed to before. And then your passion to learn and then willingness to apply. And then the really unique gift that God has given you to have influence from where you sit in that building. It's just been phenomenal for me to watch. And what I've also noticed is that you really do work hard at applying these principles in a wide variety of contexts. So what is it that motivated you to do that? I think you've already talked about this a little bit, but can you be a little bit more explicit about that? Why have you worked so hard to apply these principles in a wide variety of contexts?
First of all, those are very kind comments. I do appreciate that. I really am. I'm humbled just to have a seat at the table. And, the people that are on the development team are far wiser, more accomplished than I am. And it's just, honestly, I learned so much just from listening. That's one of the things that Dino Snacy talks about. He told me the first time when our teams kind of merged, he said, be a listen first leader. And I'm like, I'm learning so much just from, shutting up. And so that's been pretty helpful. So I appreciate that. So what motivated me to experience so much and to incorporate so much? I would say just extreme ownership. I want everything that I do to be done with excellence. I want things to be done well. And the default easy thing to do is just talk. Yeah. That's the easy thing to do is just talk. And I think a lot of us at times are just infatuated with our own voice. And if you really want people to experience transformation, you need to do the hard work of thinking through how you deliver information. And it just, you have to fall out of love with your own voice, as Dino says, and you've got to think about how the brain works, how God's designed the brain to work, how you can engage the brain, how you can keep the brain engaged. And so that's just, it just makes sense. It really does. Even thinking through how this has affected my own life as just a dad, as I've been thinking, one of the things I love about the train the trainer is, and the Send Network training is you've identified certain competencies that you believe a planter needs to have if they're going to press on to plant a healthy multiplying church. certain competencies, and then you train around those competencies, and then you incorporate techniques to make it really hit home. And I mean, I've been thinking, hey, I work really hard to make sure that I'm transformational in my training in work areas of life. And I've been thinking through, you know, I need to do that with my, you know, first church. And that's with the, you know, the family sits around the dinner table at night. And so I've thought a lot about my boys. I have 11, a 9, and a 2-year-old. And so my wife and I said, man, we need to be thinking about competencies or marks of like a, what does a faithful young boy look like? And so we identified 4. So our 4 are honest, brave, strong, and kind. Those are our boys, like the marks that we're trying to instill within our boys. And we've come up with simple definitions for each one of those. And we design spring and fall retreats where I take them away and we eat good food and we train around those, you know, those 4 marks. And I'm doing brainstorm with the boys. There's self-assessment, specifically one of the things I did with my boys just recently. We talked about being brave, and Charles Campbell did a short video for my boys talking about what brave means. B means bold. R means you rely on God. A means you act. You're not passive. V means you value others. And E means you embrace who God's made you. And so I asked my boys, okay, looking at those, which one would you say is you're really good at and why? So it was self-assessment. I was doing self-assessment with an 11, 9-year-old in a cabin. And here's one thing that was really cool. I asked him, okay, so which one of these things do you think you struggle with? And my 11-year-old son, his name's Daniel, and y'all can be praying for Daniel. He said, I struggle with embracing who God's made me to be. Because he's smaller than most kids his age.
Yeah.
He just struggles a little bit. And that's one of the things that he's dealing with. And so we were able to just take time to pray for him and even think through, hey, so what are some truths from God's word that we need to remember that God says about you? And we talked about those things and we prayed over each other. And, you know, and whereas before I just would have said, well, you need to do this. That's how you be brave. It was transformational. And my son had a moment where he was able to, with the help of good questions, just to unearth something that was in his heart. And we were able just to pray for him. So yeah, man, it's just, it's impacted. Wow. It's literally seeping into every area of my life, and it's humbling me. It's transforming. It's making me a better leader, better husband, better father, better pastor. And man, I'm really grateful for it.
Well, I can attest to the fact that I have seen post-its in Micah's house.
That's right. That's so awesome. We have guys who go through the training, and oftentimes they're only using it to train church planters. What would you say to that trainer who's only using it in that context?
I would just, you know, remind them with the same intentionality that you seek to deliver information in a way that's truly transformational with a church planter, you ought to be that intentional. Absolutely, starting with your family. You know, your family is your first church. And you ought to be thinking, man, how am I training up my family to know, love, and follow Jesus? And how can I incorporate these things that I've learned that will be helpful and beneficial for my family? And then I would just encourage guys, look at every area of your life as opportunities to train. Every area of your life should be a training ground. Yeah. You're always training. It's just whether or not you want your training to be transformational, or if you're just trying to dump something on someone to get it off your chest. If you want them to actually be transformed, like if you really believe in what you're talking about, you ought to take their brain into consideration and incorporate techniques to make it more effective in what you do. So I would say have fun with it, man. Look at the different areas where you get to train, different concentric circles of your life, and then figure out how you can be more effective by incorporating using some of the techniques. I think it'll make it better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love what you just said there about make it fun. That has been my experience when I try to do things with our church staff or try to do things with a life group or something. And I try to figure out, okay, I got this content. How am I going to deliver it? And then you try to, which quadrant am I going to use and what technique? It becomes more fun. It's more energizing for me as a leader to do it that way. So I love that that whole idea. All right, so we've got like 400 or so trainers out there now that have gone through the Train the Trainer retreat. Not all of them are active right now, of course, but what would you say to the people that are listening to the podcast, the trainers, to encourage them and then also to challenge them? You as the leader of our Send Network development team, what would you say to our trainers?
Yeah, I would say just share what you've learned with others and don't care who gets the credit. I think there can be a, I know for me, I initially experienced this, that, you know, when you get exposed to this training philosophy and then you start leading some different things with a different posture, people are like, man, that was really awesome. Like what'd you do? And there's this temptation to, you almost want to be kind of like the sage. It's like, oh no, it's just kind of the way I do things.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, yeah, like I felt like you were speaking to me and I unearthed this stuff and I figured out action steps and I got someone who's holding me accountable. Like, how'd you do that? Like, oh no, it's just a little something I learned. Don't try to be like the sage who's like stingy with the knowledge, you know?
Right.
Look at other people and think, I want that person to be more effective at what they do.
Mm.
And so bring people along slowly, but man, be generous. And like you guys say, with kind of like the four E's of transformational training, man, give people an opportunity, like equip other people to do what you do. So expose them to it, give them a chance to do it, evaluate it, give them a chance to go out, be equipped to do it. Help others grow and win at what they do. I mean, my wife is the kids side director at our church. Every meeting she has, she's incorporating techniques. Every training meeting she has, people come to the kids side training meetings because they know they're going to be engaged and it's fun and they're going to learn and they're going to collaborate. People come to meetings like because they know it's different. And my buddy Chris Renfield is the executive pastor of church, and he's incorporating things on our elder retreats now, bringing post-its. And so it's just, I would say, expose other people to it, bring them along, equip them to do it, help people win, help people grow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I really appreciate the fact that you have really worked hard at applying these principles in a wide variety of areas. And you got to think that if a trainer does that, then when he is training the church planters, because he's had a lot of reps under his belt with different techniques, he's just going to be that much better as a trainer of planters too. So it just builds everything. So thank you for being a model for us with all of that. Thank you for opening up your heart and sharing your family journey with us. It's been truly a blessing to have you on the podcast. So thank you, Mike and Milken, for your leadership, for the whole Send Network development team. And thank you for encouraging our guys today.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Thankful for all that you guys are doing to train up church planters, man. We could not do this thing without you advancing the kingdom, and you guys are an integral part of making that happen. So honored, humbled to serve alongside y'all.
Likewise, brother. Likewise.
All right, God bless.
Thanks for listening today. Our mission at Send Network Training is to equip multiplying leaders with reproducible systems to plant more healthy churches. You can follow us on Twitter at Send Network Trainers or on Facebook at Send Network Church Planter Trainers. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. This podcast was made possible by the Send Network of the North American Mission Board.